Well, dear friends, it's Monday night, December the 21st. We are we're in the middle of a cold blast here. We've got the snow. We've got the snow all around us and getting one of the cars fixed tonight. How in the world are you tonight? All over. Listen, I just sometimes, again, stand in awe of just friends from many other nations and all around the United States that would take the time to listen in. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. This is the voice of Shatter the Darkness. And if you want to find out all about us and get a lot of free MP3s, a lot of information, go to www.ShatterTheDarkness.net. And there you'll find some, quite a few downloads, some of the upcoming events, and some of the series that we're doing also. So I want to just tell you about those and let you know that they're all free, and you can download as many as you want. We're going to take a look here tonight in a new series that we've put up on the website. By the way, we put up the new series for the week, December 21st. To the 25th, and it's The Genetics of the Incarnation. Now, you know what? We did a we do a show on Sunday night late, and it's live, and it went over really well last night, but it was an introduction to The Genetics of the Incarnation. Tonight, we're starting off in this topic for the week. Now, I want you to think about this, genetics. I know a lot of people are thinking Merry Christmas. There are those that look at Christmas with its pagan backgrounds. There are those atheists and others that don't even want Christ anywhere mentioned in songs or nativity scenes. So there's that entire battle. There are those that are just caught up in the materialism. And yet there are those that are just believers. Well, let me say, like myself, I have no problem, and I'm completely unashamed to take a look at the prophecies of the coming Christ, the announcement of the birth, the actual conception, the birth, the arrival, the life, the words, the works. This is amazing from beginning to end when it comes to the incarnation. It is the song of angels, the fear of demons, and in the hands of this incarnation, this one who was incarnated, Christ, is the gift of indestructible immortality. So, dear friends, as we listen tonight, and whatever your, listen, as believers in Christ, whatever your view of Christmas time, we all know that he wasn't born, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but you know what? Don't be pushed into silence. Whatever the views you take, don't opt out as far as a great, clear, faithful, and awesome witness for the living Christ. There is no one greater, no message more packed with eternal hope and personal hope. There is just simply nothing. This is unequal. This is unprecedented. This is the message of God. The angels cried it out at the birth of Christ that this would be good news of great joy for all the people. That includes you listening right now. Even those who would download the archives later, you're in the midst of the prayers of the voice here that you're listening to. We love to pray over this show. 1 hour of a supernatural interaction, providential interaction. By the providence of God, you might be here, that God might summon you to come home. Those who are believers in Christ, may you be encouraged tonight. May you be built up tonight. Because as we discuss the incarnation, I cannot hide this. I cannot be silent on this issue. This is bigger than Tiger Woods. This is bigger than the bribes that have just gone down in the U.S. Congress. You know, we'll give you millions of dollars if you vote our way. You know, those kind of bribes. This is bigger than the bribes, bigger than Copenhagen. Listen, bigger than Copenhagen is the story, the message, the event of the incarnation. So let the message explode. Let the message be unleashed all every place you possibly can, everywhere a child sees, even a nativity scene. And seeing the little image of the Christ child. If they ask the questions, can you answer it? I just got an email tonight from someone that said that they were so used to just simply calling Jesus the Son of God, they had really overlooked the incarnation, God in human flesh. Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. God before God in human flesh. That's the topic tonight. God before God in human flesh. This is about his entrance into time and space. And for what? Well, it's for, listen, this impacts you literally tonight. It really does, no matter where you are. If you don't know God, this is all about God then getting his message to you, summoning you and drawing you into a relationship that can last forever, in which you get to see the face of God. If you're a believer already in Christ, then may you be encouraged tonight, because whatever is going on in your life, this one that came, this incarnation, listen, this one who stepped into time, stepped back out of time, is going to step back in again. Revelation 19. When the Prince of Peace, you and I, we have but a taste, a foretaste of what is to come. And I have found that taste of God, that taste of Christ, that taste of the Spirit of God in my life. I have found just the mere taste far exceeds the sum total of experiences that I've been through in my some 50-some years. May I encourage you to take a hold tonight and listen. If you have gotten this live show, you think by accident, I say by providence. If you have been sent the download and you're listening now, maybe by the very providence of God, and God may be knocking at the door of your heart. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I know a couple of things, very, very sure. God loves you. God knows you. And God wants you. Believers, it's time we stop being pushed into silence about the most incredible message, the most supernatural, the most, well, impacting message and event that could ever, ever been done, been told, or been experienced. So tonight, before we get into the body, this message, God in human flesh, the genetics of the incarnation, this idea of God himself, infinite God in human flesh, well, we're going to take a look at it. But tonight, the thread that we're going to look at is God before God in human flesh. That is, before time even existed. You got to understand, before time ever existed, God the Savior, always, he's been eternal. It's hard to even say has been. But we're talking about the eternal God stepping in then to time and space in human flesh. Well, we'll get to there. We'll get to there in just a moment. I want to mention right now that we need to be praying for the United States, praying against the evil, the rot gut evil that's going on there in Congress and in the leadership of this nation. The slaughter of babies and the abortion bills is bad enough that brings, that can bring clearly the judgment of God. Let alone now that we're hearing today that certain, well, leaders that were going to vote no against the health bill now have decided to vote yes. But why? Well, because in the last few moments, millions of dollars have been promised. So if somebody picks up a phone and says, I'll give you millions of dollars and I'll give you everything you want if you just vote yes. Well, that's one way. And that is a bribe. That is simply, you know, money being paid down there as two people meet in the halls of Congress or in the back restrooms or somewhere. You know, that's all it is. Money being handed to another so that they will vote the way that, you know, against what they originally thought. Money. Man, I tell you what, a lot of trouble here. We need massive righteous revival. We need God to strike. We really do. We need some really great individuals. I think Nehemiah would have been one. I think Daniel would have been one. I think Deborah and Esther would have been great leaders. I would to God that we see those today. So listen, believers, we're still called to pray. I'm not going to sit back. Nobody should sit back. Don't just take it. Do all that you can. Be a witness for Christ and be, listen, a light to the world. We've been called the light of the world. Don't hide it under a basket. Don't shrivel up. Hide in some cave somewhere with a few, you know, boxes of oatmeal. That's not going to last very long. We need to be on the field. We need to be doing what God has said to do. And we shall see the incredible power of God as we do the mission. I was reading a story today about the man in Brazil. The man in Brazil that stuck the 45 needles into the two-year-old boy. Well, he might have been one as it got started. 42 needles, rather, done in a form of ritual. And now this, and I'm looking at one of the X-rays right now, seeing all these needles in a two-year-old little boy. And he's calling these blessed sewing needles deep into the toddler because his lover told him to while in a trance. So the woman in a trance, you see why we warn against the dark side? You see why we warn against Satan who becomes and who trends, he morphs, he masquerades as an angel of light. There are so many spiritual experiences out there, but I'm telling you now that so many of them do not come from God. And when they don't, the weirdest of things can occur. There are dark spirits. I hope you understand that. So while this lover of this man was in a trance, whatever was speaking through him guided the man. Does he not have a brain? Does he not have a mind? You know why he did it? I don't know if you've ever heard some of the kind of crazy reasons for rituals and everything else, but you know why he did it? Because whatever this woman was receiving from whatever demonic entity was telling the man that if he did this, it would be the supernatural backing or power that would keep the couple together. So this is about love. This is about relationship. Maybe about lust. So take a one-year-old and begin sticking needles into his body. One after another, after another, after another. 2 years old, 42 needles, sewing needles. And as I look at the as I look right now at the X-rays of this little boy's body and the doctors pointing out the pins, it's an outrage. It's an absolute outrage. You think we're just going to just sit back and say, this is just another story? Listen, if you're a believer in Christ, ramp up your outrage. Ramp up your outrage concerning radical evil. The ramping up of the dark side, the moral decadent evil will continue. And I'm going to tell you right now, if believers sit silent, then we sit in shame. We aid and abet and give a free hand to dark presence, acting as ascended masters and spirit guides, leading people in trances to tell a human being to stick sewing needles in a baby. Not one, not two, not just poke the boy, put him all the way in his body. And so I hope you understand that for somebody who's worked with ritual abuse for 25, 26 years and have seen the scars and have seen the pain emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, it's an outrage. May the hand of God bring exposure. You know, may the hand of God bring exposure. May, as we did last night, may all believers in Christ now pray for this little boy and pray for the doctors that they can't even get to some of the needles. They can't even get to some of them and get them out. I mean, this is insane. Absolutely insane. So, listen. It's not about just listening to a talk show. It's not about just listening or reading, you know, new books and getting information and finding out what time it is and sitting in silence waiting for the second coming. What an absolute crock that is. That is a shame. That is a sham. Body of Christ is to be bold and out there on the field. This is the body of Christ that one time in history was turning the world upside down. With absolute supernatural heavenly power falling all around it. But it only comes when we are obedient to the Great Commission and when we're stepping out. And so may God lead believers there in Brazil, doctors and nurses that are believers and others to pour out the prayers for this two-year-old little boy. Listen, he's got so much pain. That's how they cause splitting. That's trauma-based. That's how they create dissociation, create splitting, separate personalities. I tell you what, it's just absolutely insane, totally insane. This is Russ Dizdar, voice of Shatter the Darkness, shatterthedarkness.net. Listen, if you want to write to us during the show, you can. And that is shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Now, I want to tell you, too, that I got a note from James, and he sent it out to a number of folks, but I appreciate him sending it out to me. It's a 2010 forecast, forecasting the next year, 2010. You know, we're talking 10, 12 days, what is it, 13, 14 days away. Forecasting next year. Now, everybody's going to be doing that. And even a week from this coming Sunday, January 3rd on a Sunday night, we're going to be kicking off five glimpses of actual future history that it won't change. It's it's irrevocable. You can't alter it. We're going to take a look at the glimpses of actual future human history based on the Spirit of God's prophetic revelation. That's January the 3rd, and kicking off on the 4th on, we're going to do a whole week of biblical prophecy that is about the accuracy. But let me tell you something. This email that James sent in took me to an incredible a video. It's done by, maybe many of you have heard, Adrian Salbucci from Argentina. Now, this guy is doing what he is calling risk management, you know, forecasting, strategy, talking about the future. He's talking about all the different things that are going on. So he's somewhat giving the dynamics of what's happening now with giving a reasoned out forecast. And I'm getting halfway through this first 10-minute video, and I'm listening to a man that it looks like millions have listened to. Looks like that he's been giving this kind of international forecasting for some time. And when I'm listening to him, you know what I hear? He's saying, so what does 2010 and the future hold? Here's what he says. He's saying, it holds, there's storm clouds. There's storm clouds and hail and fire and brimstone. And he's talking chaotic problems and trouble and darkness. Isn't that amazing? Once again, from all the streams and in some senses, this is a futurologist, but maybe a researcher giving forecast in contradiction to the New World Order. Sounds very clear that he's against the New World Order. He sounds like he's giving insights into how the New World Order will emerge into global government. The only thing I did not hear in Adrian Salbucci's message, and again, I'm going to say what I've heard here in this first few minutes of listening to him. I'm going to do some more research on him. But it's very good. It's a 2010 forecast. Transition from globalism or globalization to world government. Maybe you've listened to it already. But I want to say again, thank you, James, for sending that to me. It's something I've not seen before, and I probably should have. But I'm taking a look at this and listening to him, giving a reasoned approach based on facts as he sees them. And all he does is predict doom and gloom and bad things with the development of world government. And rightly so. And rightly so. What he does not bring into the equation is the spirit that is behind world government. I will say again, and I challenge you to look into this. I challenge conspiracy theorists. I challenge those who research, those who listen, those who have had so much time to listen to many, many webcasts and radio programs and broadcasts and podcasts. I would challenge all of you and say that there is no globalization without the spiritual force that's inspired it and evolving it along the way. Secondly, there'll be no eruption into world government without that incredible supernatural release of the darkest, unprecedented powers of hell itself. James talks about how even the tongue could be set on fire by hell itself. I'm telling you that globalization has been set on fire by hell, that has been burning for some time, that the flames have been getting broader and wider and higher and stronger, and the Luciferians and deep Satanists and even the deep globalists would all say amen to that. I know you would. But what, again, Adrian Salbucci and many others do not have a glimpse of is what God has said will occur, the Great Revolt, the Black Awakening, the chaos before the rise of world government. There's going to be no breaking out of world government without a supernatural world leader and regime. So once again, I'm going to say it is all about the spirit behind globalization and world government and the burst of hellish anarchy, chaos that will collapse governments in order. Now listen, people have talked about the environmental stuff, the economic things, all these different issues that will bring collapse. They will help bring collapse, but it's what has been plotted, planned, and built in the dark shadows. The sleepers are out there. Those who are going to bring an absolutely, listen, this is almost unfathomable for some, but a chaos that will burst, that will bring nations, including the United States, down. You can at least take some time if you want to and go to shatterthedarkness.net. Click on where it says The Black Awakening. And again, there's dozens of YouTube videos that Chris White and others have put up. Many different interviews and discussions we've done on this. And it involves listen, if you believe there's people behind the development of globalization and world government, if you looked at the Bilderbergers and Trilateralists and all the other secret societies and governmental factors, if you've looked at the European Union and you've looked at all these things, then keep looking further and you're going to need Holy Spirit lit eyes and biblically lit understanding to see what really is coming. What you feel, what you see is but the shark fins. Most have not looked under the surface of the deep to see the teeth. The teeth, the lethal teeth of the monster to come. Chaos shall surely break out. There will be no globalization to world government in an incremental, you know, slide, though we may see destabilization, decentralization, disintegration in culture, morals, spirituality, you know, militaries, it will not be enough to bring collapse so that a new regime that is out there waiting to come into power. You see, I'm going to tell you right now, my belief is that that regime is prepared and bursting at the seams. On the physical side, the troops of Antichrist, the Luciferians literally are there. On the supernatural side, the troops, the demonic troops, the hordes, the hounds of hell are at the border of the veil waiting for that which restrains them. Sovereign restraint. But they're bursting, they're waiting, they're pushing, they're wanting to both come from that dark side to this side and allow that which has been prepared to be unleashed in society. And you better believe it, all hell is going to break loose. Literally, all hell is going to break loose. And the collapse of nations, not annihilation, but collapse. All of this is for one reason, to force nations to their knees, crying out for a savior, crying out for a new day, crying out for a new government, crying out for a new law, crying out for a new spirit, crying out for a new way. You better believe that Antichrist, the most supernaturally empowered being in all of human history outside of Christ, well, he'll be there. He'll be there with the regime. And behind the scenes, a false prophet unleashing. Christians, listen, unprecedented supernatural powers that go beyond anything the dark side has ever done, ever in human history. Now listen, that is biblical reality, that is biblical prophecy, and we need to get it into our minds and hearts that we are to prepare for what these things will be, all the while doing the mission of God in Christ. There will be no diminishing. Even if the United States collapses and England collapses and hell breaks out everywhere, there's going to be no diminishing of the presence and power and grace and might of the indestructible Christ, the indestructible body of Christ, the indestructible Word of God. No matter what Satan does to lay his hands there, though he brings harm to the body of Christ, though there is failure, Jesus did say he would build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, we need some bold believers to believe Christ. We need some believers that will stand up and say, you know what? I've been sitting back too long just listening to the stories and just being shocked by them again and again and again and again. Screaming at the darkness is not good enough. Doing the mission of God is the will of God, where he backs it with all of heaven's graces and powers. So if you want to see the supernatural power of God and see God operate like he did in the book of Acts, then you're going to have to be a believer like Philip. You're going to have to be someone that's going to believe the instruction, believe the promises, step out in the word of God and obey God. See, you receive it all by faith, but you unleash it. You are manifest by obedience. Obedience is faith in action. Now listen, we're going to talk about here in a moment the genetics of the incarnation, specifically tonight, God before God was in human flesh. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, on a Monday night, 6 p.m. We're 30 minutes into the show, and we've touched on a few of the announcements, pieces of news. But in the context of the bribes in Congress of a 2-year-old boy going through the pain of having sewing needles now removed from his body that was placed into his body based on a woman who had a trance and told a man to do so. What an outrage. Outrage with the bribes in Congress. Outrage with the ritual needle sticking of a little boy. Outrage in the development of globalization in the coming world government. It only spells one thing. Anybody wants to know? Hey, whether you're a believer or not, read Revelation chapter 9. It predicts one third of humanity because of world government, because of globalization, one third of mankind, over 2 billion, will die in less than a 3.5-year period. Revelation 9. So that's why there should be outrage. As we stand in the sight of God, burning with the Spirit of the Lord, doing the will of God, we must continue. And by the way, if you're listening, it's because God loves you. Christ came to love you, to rescue you, but also to bring a hammer down on radical evil, exposing it, crushing it, and destroying its works at the cross. Now he's coming again, and I'm telling you, supernaturally, Satan knows that. Revelation 12 and 19 lets you know that he's there and prepared for Jesus both times. He knows. If anybody knows that prophecy by God, by the word of God, is fulfilled, it is Satan himself. That's why he tries to destroy the recipients or to stop the events. Part of the reason for Antichrist and the super soldiers, and that's why military weapons developers need to be warned now, and by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, I bring you this warning in the sight of God that planetary defense weapons systems are part of a satanic agenda for use at Armageddon, which is not about nations against nations. But it is about world government supernaturally guided to aim its weapons into space and seek to annihilate God. Check it out. Revelation 19:19. R-19:19. Fulfillment of a 3,000-year-old prophecy. Psalm chapter 2. Listen, believers, may the Spirit of God encourage you tonight. May you feel the burning of the passion of the mission that we are to be a part of. May you and I, by the grace of God, repent of our lack and our slack of not doing what we need to do. Amen. For those listening in, there is hope for you because God, in the midst of, well, let me tell you, I can feel the compassion of God. I can feel the summons that as an ambassador of God, that God would appeal, and there is emotion, and there is invitation, and there is love. God simply says, come home. Come home to Christ. Come home to the gift of eternal life in Jesus. And open your heart to the infinite God and the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Renounce the dark side, Luciferians. Get out of the lies. The fallen cherub, though he is promised again and again and dazzles with counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, he has never fulfilled the promises that he has given. You realize that, right? He has lied. He has lied again and again and again. He has lied. That's why Jesus said he's the Father, the originator, the overseer, the inspirer of lies. That's why politicians should get out of lies. That's why whoever lives in lies is opening the door to the father of lies. And it always spells separation from God, death, hell. It always brings. And it's like the woman in the trance getting communication, non-human entities communicating to her, telling the boyfriend, the idiot, to take needles and stick them in a little boy. What about all the rituals that are going on behind the scenes? What about the 4 million plus diagnosed cases of multiplicity that involved satanic ritual abuse. Does anybody know what time it is? Well, let me tell you right now, we got 25 minutes left. For those who are brand new, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. And listen, we're on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Tuesday nights on SurviveToThrive.net, 7 p.m. Now, you can find all the times and all the broadcasts and podcasts at www.ShatterTheDarkness.net. There is the book, it's out there, The Black Awakening, Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers. It has all the details of what I'm talking about even here in these few moments. But tonight, though I felt very, very led by the Spirit of God to say what we've said already, let me say this. That in a season of the year that, in the past, historically, you know, there's Hark the Herald Angels Sing, all about Christ, the newborn king. It used to be that there was a great centrality about the Savior and the birth of Christ and all that occurred. And I'm afraid that some have looked at the story of the angel singing and Mary and the baby and all that occurred as just some kind of story as if it came out of a book. I'm not talking about the Word of God. I'm saying as if it came out of some little children's book. Some have not been gripped by the reality and the impact of all of this. Because it involves, yes, Mary. It involves Joseph. It involves a lot of individuals. It involves multiple prophets from the past. All, they didn't know each other. Most all of them didn't know each other. But guided by the same Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, if you look in 1 Peter chapter 1, it tells that the Old Testament prophets who were looking at the prophecies concerning the arrival of Messiah, God in human flesh, that back then, before the arrival of Christ, they were being guided by the Spirit of Christ. You see, for many, they think that's the beginning, that Christ being born and what he said and what he did and the cross is all a new thing. Well, in some ways, the words and the event is new, prophesied, but eventually occurred. But you've got to understand that this same Jesus that was in human flesh is the one, listen, I'm going to tell you this, God, before God was in human flesh, before the beginning, let's go back to the before the beginning of time. Now you can read in Genesis, in the beginning God created. You can read in John's Gospel chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That eventually in that chapter, the Word, the eternal living Word, became flesh. Now the Greek tense used there is an imperfect tense. The preposition pros, it's an amazing revelation there in John's Gospel. In the beginning was, imperfect tense meaning always has been. There's no beginning to the eternal Son of God other than his entrance into time and space. I want you to remember and maybe mark down or put it in the back of your mind, John's Gospel chapter 17. Towards the end of the ministry of Jesus, just before the cross, the death and burial and resurrection and ascension. Jesus praying to the Father says these words, "Return to me the glory I had with you before the creation of the world." Before time. Physicists are looking for that moment or non-moment at the Big Bang. They want to somehow go outside of time into eternity. They think that even finite advanced technology can reach into out of time and into eternity. I don't believe it'll ever happen. It's the other way around. The infinite God has the ability to reach into finite time. After all, he did create it. He did make it. Time is a creation of God. And listen, time involves, and the reason for time is for our existence. At one, well, I don't even want to say one point in history, before time, the infinite, immaterial, eternal God. Out of God, not ex nihilo, but out of God came time. Came the material universe. Came the existence of angels. Came the spread of planets. And there was Earth. In the right place. In the right time. All of it created so that Adam, humankind, could be placed. Listen, not by some master race of aliens running around in ships that can crash in Roswell. Not by ascended masters from other realms that seeded the planet. Give me a break. Finite beings didn't create time. Finite beings had a beginning. Finite beings are in time and bound to time. But before time existed, before 1 second on the clock, outside of that was, well, let me say it this way. I know you're going to get bugged. It was not nothing. It was not nothing. It wasn't that there was nothing and then there was something. No, there was someone. Vast. Absolutely immeasurable. Think through it now. Immeasurable. Who can measure God? What instrument can measure God? What instrument created by finite man can go outside of time, to the beginning of time, out of time, into eternity, and equate it, research it, capture it? You see, I still stand amazed in the presence of the infinite, immaterial, immeasurable, eternal God. I still stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I still stand amazed that Jesus in John's Gospel 17 said, "Father, return to me the glory," which means the infinite, eternal, immaterial glory "I had with you before the beginning, before creation, before material existence." So when you read John's Gospel chapter 1, once you know that, and you read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was," in perfect tense, meaning always has been, "and the Word was always with," pros, "face to face in full fellowship with God." Eternal God, inseparably connected to eternal God. Now you can battle over the issue of the plurality and the oneness of God all you want. It is beyond human calculation. I believe it is beyond human sentences, though we attempt to describe. Let us create Adam, humankind, in our likeness and in our image. He wasn't talking to the angels. We're not created in the image of the angels. Let us create mankind, Adam, man, in our image and our likeness. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was, in perfect tense, always has been, always is, always will be, and the Word was, is, always will, God. You get it? The Logos is God. Eternal, immaterial, infinite, always, immeasurably, God. Now, you read in that chapter, the revelation, that Logos, God, eternal God, stepped out of that eternity into time. I mean, God's not bound by time. I mean, he operates in time. He operates on the basis, communicating with us and walking with us. And listen, God's not restricted by time. Time has nothing over on God. God's beyond time, but operates in time. But now we're talking about the infinite, timeless, eternal, immaterial God becoming human flesh. The genetics of the incarnation. 300 massive prophecies or more given before Emmanuel, God in human flesh, came. America, Canada, England, wherever you're from right now, listen. Almighty Creator now has stepped out of eternity and into time. God before God in human flesh. He's always been God. At the moment of conception, still God. Nothing that occurred in the incarnation or along the way or at the cross, at the tomb, nothing negates full deity. Nothing. Thomas fell down and cried out the right words, "My Lord and my God," capital G. John's Gospel, chapter 1, is very clear about the eternal Logos, God, becoming flesh and dwelling for a while among us. Now, you want another place? Mark down 1 John chapter 1, where it talks about the eternal. Listen, the Word, how John is very clear that the Gnostics were wrong, that God in Christ was not a Casper the ghost, but literally in human flesh. They denied God in human flesh. Well, the New Age does the exact same thing. Matter of fact, if the spirits that guide your spirituality deny and reject the full deity of God in human flesh, I can guarantee you that it's not the Spirit of God that's guiding you. In 1 John chapter 1, it's again a revelation. Many years later, as the Spirit of God leads John, in writing about how the eternal Word, the eternal one, appeared, came into time for a period of time, for a while. And what a while that was. While the prophets looked for the circumstances and intently searched, as 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 tell us, as they looked for the coming of Messiah, he is prophet, priest, king, savior, son of God, son of man, the man Christ Jesus. He's all of those things. If you're going to study concerning the Christ of Scripture, the Christ of history, the eternal God that stepped out of eternity into time, then you're going to have to take all of the revelation. Not one piece here and one piece there. All of the revelation. And you're going to have to look at the fact that this is massively incredible. It is not Genesis 6, B'nai Elohim, fallen angels, taking the women, having sex with them, and creating Nephilim. Demonic human hybrid. This is not what Aleister Crowley was after when he was searching for the moon child. This is not what Jack Parsons and others were about when they were seeking, sex with the whore of Babylon to create a super child, a superhuman. This is not the occult Nazi doctrine seeking, the spirits guiding them to the Aryan Nephilim blood to create godmen, small g. We're not talking about fallen angels. We're talking now about the infinite God. We're not talking about spirits that engaged women and caused conception and at the moment of conception when life begins, the life of the Nephilim, the crossbreed between a corrupted and fallen angelic being and humankind, and the transmutation of humanity that occurred. Mutants, non-humans. In the future, and out there somewhere, probably in Europe, everybody, friends that are out there in Europe, you're in the belly of the beast. You're in deep trouble. I believe that probably for many, many years, Antichrist has been developing. Obviously born at some point, maybe 30 years ago. But you're talking about now, not B'nai Elohim, but the fallen cherub himself. Not Mary, the servant girl of God, but a woman that is probably bloodlined and demonically, in every single way, the dark Madonna, mother of the Antichrist. There was some womb that where the conception of Satan himself mixing with the egg of a human female. Thus, Antichristu, Homo Satanus. New Agers, it's not Homo Nauticus, not Homo Lumos. It is Homo Satanus. And he's going to rock the world. Unprecedented spiritual presence and deception that will lead the world to unprecedented and massive destruction. We're getting close, and I know we all know that. But outside of both of those, now listen concerning the genetics. When Mary in the Gospels asked the angel, when he announced the decree of God and brought about the words that involve the fulfillment of prophecies that were hundreds and hundreds of years old, telling Mary that she would be with child, that great favor rested upon her, how she wonderfully yielded to the message of God by the angel Gabriel. How could this be, she wondered. Physicists, how can this be? Doctors, how can this be? Theologians, how can this be? You and I, man on the street, how can this be? And the answer that the angel gave, the Word of God demonstrates, is that it would be by the presence of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. God, who is Spirit, caused the conception in the womb of Mary. Thus, the genetics, the uniting of infinite, eternal, immaterial God in human flesh. The moment of conception, God in human flesh. During the development of Braphos, the baby on the inside, God in human flesh. God at conception, God in the womb, God at the birth. Who showed up at the birth? The angels of God. They gave praise and made statements and made declarations. This is good news of great joy, which is for all the people. It's for you listening right now. It's about God's love, God's power, God's mercy, the ability of God to touch you right now. It's about the gift of indestructible immortality. It's about the ability to come home to God, be in dynamic, knowable relationship that has the witness of the infinite Spirit of God on the inside. It says, not only you are a child of God, but you know that you know that you know that you know that you're going to be there in the first resurrection, the glorification. When these lowly bodies, these mortal bodies, in the twinkling of an eye, in a flash, an atomic, atomos, that's the Greek word there in 1 Corinthians 15, in an unsplittable moment in time, we will be changed. Well, why? Because of the cross. Because infinite God, as prophesied, as foretold, came in at the moment of conception God in human flesh. In the womb, God in human flesh. At the birth, God in human flesh. In the development of Christ, God in human flesh. When attacked by Satan, Matthew chapter 4, in the temptation, God in human flesh. The demons knew it. Satan knew it. The angels declared it at the birth. They used the word. They acknowledged not only that this is God in human flesh, Emmanuel, Savior of the world, where the favor of God is coming, but they also said this. They also, their words confirmed biblical revelation, scripture. The angels, praised a prophet and a priest. Listen, a prophet is both a spirit of God, spoke an incredible message. Read about it in the Gospel of Luke. The Spirit of God was giving witness. The angels were giving witness. The demons were fearing. And the people of God were stunned that the event so long awaited, so many hundreds of years foretold, has now occurred. Wise men, kings, whatever they were, wise men, led by a supernatural sign, came to the spot and bowed down and worshiped God in human flesh. Gave gifts honoring the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somehow I believe, this is an opinion, those wise men, I have an opinion, those wise men probably got saved. And we shall see them in the kingdom. My dear friends, we are running out of time. 1 hour has almost gone by. We got about 3 minutes left. I want you to hear, as I would encourage you to go back and look into the Gospels, at all of the witness, at all of the astounding message. I'm going to tell you now that the New Age movement has nothing in comparison. That there is spiritually nothing in comparison. So whether in England, Canada, Australia, United States, coast to coast, wherever you are, nothing in comparison, unprecedented, unmatched, unequaled, because we're dealing with the infinite God stepping out of eternity into time, into human flesh. And it all ends up at the cross. It all ends up reading, and I give this to you tonight, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. After the cross, the death, the resurrection, he went back out of time into eternity. And dear friends, one more time, he will come out of eternity and back into time. Revelation 19. Hey, God bless you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. We'll see you on Tuesday night, 7 p.m., right back here.